I'm going to just pray before we get into God's word. Lord, thank you again for this time we can have together as a body, Lord, of believers. And we are looking to you as our head to speak to us, Lord, from your word, and that the Holy Spirit would convey the things you're wanting us to hear, Lord. And I pray you would open up our understanding. Lord, help us to hear the things you want us to hear this morning, Lord, as a body, so that when we do come back together, Lord, it's how you desire us to dwell together, and it'll be all about you and coming because of you and your purpose and your plan and for your kingdom, Lord. So God bless our time in your word. Help me, Lord, to convey your heart this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to speak really to our local church here this morning. If you're listening online, you're not a part of this body that meets here in this building, that's okay. You can still take what I'm saying wherever you attend. But I want to kind of pose a question this morning that I've been asking myself. And as we prepare to meet again, possibly in 4 weeks, what's that going to look like? And so I've been getting more and more into scripture on just what church looks like. What does that look like? And I guess the disturbing thing that has been coming to me is that I believe a lot of what we're doing, a lot of what we've called church, we really don't find in scripture. So I know for myself, I want to do what God tells me to do. I want to make sure I'm allowing God to do what only he can do. And I'm not trying to do something in my own strength or trying to produce something that only God can produce. So I want to look at a story. It's found in John chapter 2. I've spoken on this chapter before, but I just want to apply it really to what the sense I get God is wanting to say to us as a body. Because I believe the church, in a sense, is running out of natural wine. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, there's some things we can produce in our own strengths, in our own ways, what we have learned as far as how to do things. And that's what was happening here in this story of where Jesus turned the water to wine. They were running out of natural wine that they had made, that someone had pressed and took grapes and pressed them and made wine. And they were there at the wedding and they were running out of wine. But what I want to just put out there this morning is that maybe we need new wine. Maybe it's good we're running out of the old wine. So that's really how I want to apply this passage this morning. So I'm just going to start reading here in verse 1. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said, they have no wine. Now, I think Jesus probably knew that. He knew all things. But she was letting him know, hey, you know, they're running out of wine. This isn't good. And she was really saying, you need to do something about this. And I've been praying for you all. God's really been leading me more to just pray and to just trust him. And the way I've been putting it before him is, Lord, you see the need. You see the needs of the people. You see the needs of the church. Lord, we're out of wine here. We need some wine. God, we need what only you can produce. And Jesus says to her in verse 4, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Sometimes we can feel that way when we start looking to God, and especially in prayer, when we're praying, it almost seems like God is saying, hey, not now, not yet, it's not my time. Now, God knew there was a need, and he also knew how he was going to meet it. And his mother basically goes on and just tells the servants in chapter verse 5, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever he says to you, do it. And that's what I want to say to you this morning. I know it's what God has been saying to me. Jeff, whatever I say, do it. In other words, whatever the Word of God says about the church, what it should be, how it should function, do it. And that's been my prayer of late, Lord. What do you say, Lord, I should do? And one thing that keeps coming back to me is when Jesus went into the temple and he overturned the tables and he said, "You've turned my house into a marketplace, a den of thieves. My house shall be called a house of prayer." So as we're preparing to come back together as a church, that's really what I want to emphasize today, that we would really examine our prayer life and even praying for one another and praying to God about the church and what he wants to do in the body and in the church, because prayer really is the backbone of everything. Because in prayer, we're looking to God to do what only he can do. And I somehow sense that's lacking a lot of times in church, in our gatherings, even in our own Christian walks, where we're trying to produce something that only God can. And prayer is simply looking to God and asking him, beseeching him, listening to what he has to say, and then doing what he says, and understanding that only he can do what we're asking him to do. So whatever he says to you, she says, do it. And it says in verse 6, "Now there were set 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, and they contained about 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.'" Okay, now that goes against the natural reasoning mind. You don't make wine out of water. And I want us to think about church, how we've been doing church. And I think there's a lot of things we've incorporated in our churches that aren't gonna produce what only God can do. Now, they might help us grow. It might attract people. It might accomplish some things in people's lives. But it's all maybe producing only a natural outcome. Well, we need a supernatural outcome. And so Jesus is setting them up for the supernatural here. He's telling them to put water into these water pots. And I want to just encourage you this morning. I know God is encouraging me to believe him to make wine out of water. Because I want new wine. When we come back together, I don't want to go back to the old wine. I don't want to be spinning my wheels trying to produce something that only God can produce. And it's going to start with prayer, and it's going to start with obedience and maybe doing things a little differently than maybe what we have made church out to be. So he tells them, fill them up with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. So again, we see prayer is not just waiting and listening. It's when we hear in prayer, we do. So they actually had to do, they had to get out of their comfort zones. They had to step out in faith now with what God was showing them. And I know as a pastor, I want to see people come to the Lord. I want to see God manifest his presence in a meeting. I want to see drug addicts healed. I want to see households restored. I want to see kids that are broken and hurting come to know the love of Christ. But I also understand I can't do that in my own strength. This church, this body can't do that in our own strength. We can't do it with our own planning and our own strategies. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God working in us and through us and doing the things that only he can do. And that might mean for us doing things a little differently. So when we do come back together as a church, it might look a little different. And please be praying for me, praying for the elders. Be praying as well just for yourselves and for this body of God, what do you want to do, God? What ways are you asking all of us to step out in faith in a greater way when we come back together? Even if it doesn't make sense to us, even if it's not comfortable to us. So they did it. They actually went and they did it. They didn't grow weary. They didn't fill them up halfway. They did exactly what Jesus said to do. And I understand we grow weary sometimes. We start doing something God tells us to do, and we say, oh, it's not working, forget it. They could have did that, but they persevered. And it's going to take perseverance on our part, especially in prayer, when we feel like nothing's happening, when we don't see things happening. God is challenging us. He's been challenging me. Do I really believe him? You know, when I come back, am I going to find faith? You know, that persistent widow that knocks and knocks and knocks until he opens and gives her what she needs for her neighbor. Again, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but we have to persevere in that. And we have to do it individually in our own prayer lives, and we have to be willing to do it corporately. And again, that seems like, well, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do that. But God is saying, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Out of that, I will begin to work and do the things that only I can do. So they had to persevere. They had to fill them all the way up. Then they had to take the cup that was still water. And somewhere in between them taking that cup and bringing it to the master, it changed into wine. But they had to follow through. They didn't grow weary in doing good. In due season, we'll see here, they reaped. Because it says in verse 9, when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made into wine and did not know where it came from, but it says the servants knew. They knew. And people, when we become a praying church, when we become more of a church that isn't about methods and man's ways, and God begins to move and do the things he's promised to do, we're going to know where that came from. And we're going to realize it wasn't necessarily our own efforts, our own abilities, our own strength, or some natural way of doing things. God did it because we simply prayed and we trusted him. We were simply obedient and did what he said to do according to his word. And so the master called the bridegroom of the feast, and he said to him in verse 10, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior, but you have kept the good wine until now. So what we see here is this wine was better than the old wine or the natural wine. My guess is he probably never tasted wine like this before. And that's, people, what God is wanting to do in his body, in our lives. He's wanting to go above and beyond what we can think or imagine. But we need to get back to the simplicity of simply doing things the way he has instructed us to do. And one way, or one big way, is really prayer. A church that prays. This house that we will be meeting in a few weeks, becoming more of a house of prayer where saints come together, not to make a building church, but to make their individual lives as they come together under the head who is Christ, and that life flows through the body and the body works together. And as we look at scripture and what the church looks like, it really is not a spectator situation where we come into this building and here's pastor up front and we got this nice worship team that's going to sing some songs and then we're going to listen to the pastor. No, this is not what scripture shows us the church should be. The church is about participating. The church is exciting. The church is about the body working together and coming together in a place. For us, it's this building here. And because they've been praying and seeking the Lord and they've been involved with one another in different ways during the week. When they come together and meet, it's a powerful experience, and God's working out his plan and his purpose, and then God's doing things only he can do. And so it's in this place where we're encouraged, where we're stirred up for good works, and where the love of Christ is stirred up in our hearts, where we're speaking to one another in spiritual songs and hymns and psalms, and where we pray together. That's what they were doing in the upper room. And when they left there, what we saw was God doing what only he can do. And that's what God's wanting. He's wanting to do the things that only he can do, but we have to run out of the old wine. I think we've relied on the natural wine long enough, and God is, I know, challenging me to believe him for the new wine. So I want to share a couple of things with you just to be praying about before we come back and meet together as a church. I want to ask, first of all, ask yourself a question. What is church to you? What has church become for you? And I don't know if we realize it or not, but we really have created a consumer mentality of church. And when you think about a modern churchgoer and what they look for in a church, we think of things like, well, do I like their worship music? Do I like the pastor? Do they offer good kids programs? Do they have a coffee shop? Do they have a clean and safe campus? Do they have home groups? You know, we have our whole list that we come to God with, but yet some of those things we don't see in the Bible, but yet we've incorporated them into our church services. And it really, in some ways, has become a spectator mentality or a consumer mentality where I come and I kind of see what the church has to offer to me. And my prayer is when we come back together here, and this has been our goal all along, but I feel like we've drifted from that. And I know this time we've been off, not being able to meet together. I know it's been a time of self-examination for myself, but also for the church. And so we're going to be reevaluating things and why we're even doing certain things, because when we come back together, it needs to be about Jesus. It needs to be about how the Bible describes what our gatherings should look like and what the purpose of that is. And then when we go from this building during the week, equipping one another to go and to make disciples and to share the gospel with others, but not in our own strength, in the power of God. And that's the purpose for meeting together. Again, Jesus said in Luke 19:46, "My house is a house of prayer, but you've made a den of thieves." So again, God, what are you wanting to overturn in my own life? But what are you overturning in the church? And what do we need to change? What things do we need to get back to that scripture talks about so that you could produce the wine that only you can produce, so that you can be glorified in the way you want to be glorified? So these are some of the things I want us to be thinking about as we're preparing to get together as a body. And I'm also going to ask that we would just commit to pray for one another. I know my wife sent out Paul's prayer themes to all of you, I know to the ladies, and I'd be willing to make that available, even the list of everyone that attends here at Lighthouse. And I've been committed to praying this for all of you. So it's going to start with prayer. It's going to start with really just praying for one another, but not what we think we need in the natural or our opinions, but let's pray scripture. So it's always safe to pray scripture. So I'm going to just read a few of these. I'm going to close, and I'm really just going to pray for the church, because I'm really at a place as your pastor that I want God to do what only He can do. And I want to take my hands more off of the machinery of the church. And I want us as a body to get back to more of the scriptural meaning of what it means to be a body, so God can do the things He's wanting to do, so that we can experience that new wine that's better than the natural wine. So Lord, as we close this morning, I want to pray for this body, Lord, for the believers that attend in this building, that come together and meet here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as a body, we would glorify You through our unity, because that's what the Bible says will be a defining characteristic of Your body. There would be unity. Lord, I pray we would grow in love. Lord, I pray You would, as the Apostle Paul say, open, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we will know You better, Lord. Help us to do that, Lord, in our individual lives, Lord, but grant it to us as a body, Lord, that we would come into a greater knowledge of who You are. Lord, I pray You would strengthen us with Your power, Lord. I pray You would do away with natural abilities and relying on the strength of man or the wisdom of man, Lord. I pray as a body, as individuals, Lord, You would strengthen us with Your power, with the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that You have freely given to all of us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You would teach us the knowledge of Your will. Help us to know what Your will is, Lord. Help us to get away from our own opinions and our own thoughts, Lord. Help us as a body, Lord, to know Your will, Lord. And I thank You, God, You have given us guidelines. You have given us Your word, Lord. It's written out for us, Lord. So, God, help us to seek You in Your word that we might know Your will and Your purpose for us, Lord. Help us to stand firm in that will, Lord, even though many around us might be saying, no, this is the way, no, this is the way, or this is how you need to do it. Lord, help us to stand on what You have said, even if it looks funny or strange, even if it doesn't line up with how the majority are doing things, Lord. Help us to do what You said to do, even if it means trying to make wine out of water, Lord. But yet that's what You've called us to do, Lord, because You're a supernatural God. So help us, Lord, to stand in Your will, in the truth that You have laid out for us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that our love would increase for one another, Lord, and that it would overflow to others, Lord. You said that's how the world would know that we're Your disciples. So I pray for a greater manifestation of Your love in this body, Lord. I pray as we give ourselves to praying for one another, praying these scriptures for one another, that You would produce. We can't produce that natural. It's not something that comes natural, just like You would make wine from grapes, Lord. It's a supernatural work You do in our hearts that gives us love for one another, Lord. It's really the revelation of Your own love to us. So I pray that for this body. I pray for every person that attends in this building, Lord. Help them to increase in the knowledge of Your love and in the increase in their love for one another, Lord. So I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. And I pray, God, as we prepare in about 4 weeks to get together as a body once again, Lord, that You would produce what only You can produce in us, Lord. So I thank You, Lord, and I trust You, Lord, to do what only You can do. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. It's a little shorter today. I really just wanted to share my heart with you as we're getting ready to come back together as a body. And I want to encourage you to start believing God for that new wine, for the supernatural, for Him doing the things that He wants to do in our own personal lives, but also in the church here as we're preparing to get back together. And pray for one another. Again, we'll make this available to you guys. I know Rose has sent it out to the ladies. Let's start there. Let's start with prayer. But let's not grow weary in praying for one another. Prayer is powerful. So let's start there. Let's pray for one another. Amen. I love you guys. And I look forward to seeing all of you soon. So have a blessed day. And please pray for us. We're going to meet tomorrow night as elders just to discuss things, to pray with one another. So please pray for us, those that God has entrusted to watch over this flock. We do that with fear and trembling. We do it understanding we're just His servants, and we are here to serve and just to bless those that God has given to us to care for. So we love you, and we're so grateful for you guys, but we do cover your prayers. So God bless you guys. Have a blessed day.